Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Yud Dalet. We're going to pick up the Gemara 6 lines from the top with the words Ini, and this is going to refer back to a machlokist we had in yesterday's share. We are continuing to learn for the success of Tzal and the Kochos HaBitachon, for the safe return of the hostages, and for Refuah Shleima, for all those in need, the Eretz Yisrael, and throughout the Jewish world. So, yesterday we had a machlokis between Rav Chisda Amar Avimi and Rabbi Elazar. Rav Chisda Amar Avimi said, in regards to the words in the Mishnah, Urishus Hanizak V'Yamazik, he said, in this situation, it is considered a Chotzer HaShutfin, and you're going to be chayiv for shein and regel, in damage that was done in a place where both the mazik and the nizak had the rights to be. As opposed to Rabbi Elazar, and the question is going to be on Rabbi Elazar says, in that area where both had the right to be, you're potter for damages that are done with shein and regel. So that was the machlokas we had in yesterday's shir, and we pick up again 6 lines at the top, Yadala the Manal, with the words, really, is that so? Is Rabbi Elazar right that you're going to be part of a shein v'regel in a situation where it's the rishus of the mazik and the nizak, ini, is that so? V'atani Rav Yosef, but we learned the following brisa that Rav Yosef taught, chatzar hashutvim v'hapundak. If you have a chatzar that is a jointly owned chatzar, it's a chatzar of shutvim, or you have a punduk. Rashi tells us a punduk is a bayis gadol, like a hotel. Shirigilin orchin v'achsenoyin lolunbo, that guests come and stay over, like a hotel or an inn. V'imhizik zeh ezeh, and if somebody does damage to somebody else's property in the hotel, chayev ashein v'regel. You would be chayev if your animal caused damages via shein, via eating, or by regel, by walking. The low heavy rishus harabim. It's not a rishus harabim where those things would be exempted from paying damages, because the hoel ve'enom yuchad l'vnei rishus harabim. Not everybody has the right to go over there in that punduk in that hotel. El liosan hadarinbo. Only the guests in the hotel have the right to be there, and this is therefore considered kisod de acher karinam bay sharia de sliros heim darim sham. So this is not your area. This is considered someone else's area. And therefore, Rav Yosef writes, in this chotzer hashutvim or a punduk, chayev ben al shein v'al regel. The Brisa states beferish that you would be chayev for damages that your ox caused via shein v'regel, and certainly Karen, and tiyufta the Rabbi Elazar. This is a kasha on Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is an Amora, so how is he going to argue over here with the opinion of this Brisa? So Rabbi Elazar would answer back, Omalach Rabbi Elazar, Betizbra, you think that this is the only brisa? There are other brises that agree with me. So you know, this brisa doesn't agree with me. We have another brisa that does agree with me. Masnisa milo pligi. Aren't there brises that are in conflict over here? So yes, you brought down a brisa that says that you are chayiv on shein v'rego. Not like my opinion says you're part of shein v'rego, but I'll show you a brisa that says you are part of shein v'rego. For Tanya, because we learned in the following brisa, there are 4 general rules that Rabbi Shimon Elazar stated in regards to Nezikin. Now, what are these rules? They're telling us about places where damage occurred. So he says, number one, kol shehu rishus la nizak, any place where the nizak, the one who's damaged, has the right to keep his ox over there. V'lo la mazik, and the mazik had no right to have his ox go over there. So then any damage that's caused over there, chayev bakol, the word will explain, bakol means you're chayev, even if you're a tam, even if you're a short tam, you're going to be chayev nezek sholem, because your animal had no right to be there, and the nizak has the right to say, hey, what are you doing in my yard? This is my private yard. Your ox doesn't have a right to be there. Agreed that your ox is a short tam, but it doesn't have the right to be there, and therefore, if your short tam damages in the nizak's area, you have to pay full damages, chayev bakol. So that's klal number one that Rav Shimon Elazar said. Number two, the mazik v'lo lanizak, if it's an area where the mazik had the right, he has a corral, he has a well-known angry ox that gores animals, but it's in its own private corral in the mazik's property. And then somehow the nizak's cow gets in there and gets damaged. So in this situation where the right is for the mazik to be there, v'lo lanizak, so then potimikol, then you don't pay anything. Even if you're a sharmuad, you don't pay anything, because your sharmuad was protected and secure in its own area. Somebody else went in there without rishus. The guy has the right to say, the mazik has the right to say to nizak, what's your cow doing? What's your shor doing in my area? That's cloud number two. Number three, lozeh v'lozeh. If, now, this seems to sound like both of them have the rishus over there. Kigon chatzar hashutvin v'habikah. For example, a commonly owned courtyard or a bika, a valley, which has commonly owned fields that everybody can go to. In this situation, it says potur bo al hashem v'yala regel. So here you have a chatzar shutvin and a bika, and it says that you're potur v'shem v'regel. That argues with the brisa that Rav Yossi brought down that says you're chayef v'shem v'regel, which we says with the tiyuf to Rabbi Elazar. So now Rabbi Elazar says, yeah, well, this brisa holds like me. So there's a stira between the two brises, which we'll get to. But this is the third of the four categories that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar brings down. And here it says that you're potur v'shem v'regel, albeit for Karen, al hanegicha, which is the primary goring of Karen, or v'al hanegifa, which is Rashi reminds us was one of the toldos of negicha of Karen, v'al neshicha, the biting, not eating, but biting, which is also a toldo, v'al revitza, which is the crouching down, or v'al habi'ita, or kicking. So all of these are toldos of Karen. So therefore, for all of these, if it's a shor tam, mishalim chatzi nezik, if it's a shor mu'ad, mishalim nezik shalim. So that's the third of the klalos that in this area, which is, so to say, both of theirs, opportunity to be there. It's chatzar ashutvim. So this brisa says that you're potter for shein vor regel. Fine. This will be in support of Rabbi Elazar and showing you the two brises disagree with each other. And finally, the fourth category over here that Rav Shimon Elazar brings down is if it belongs to neither of them. Lo lazev, lazev, belongs to somebody else. Kigon chatzar she'enu shel shteyem. It doesn't belong to either of them. So then, chayiv ba'al she'en v'yarega, you chayiv v'she'en v'rega, because it's not a shes harabim, it's somebody else's property. However, you would be chayiv al anagicha for Karen, v'al anashicha, v'al anagifa, v'al anavitza, v'al anabita, those four toldos of Karen, tam mishalim chatzi nezek, and mu'av mishalim nezek sholem. That would be the din over here as well. Now, what do we have? The bottom line is, ketanim miyes, we have two brises that disagree with each other. Chatzar ashutz v'abikah, here we say, potur ba'al shein v'regel, whereas the brise that Rav Yosef brought down said, yechayiv shein v'regel. So kasha adadi, the two brises seem to contradict each other. So what's the answer? So the Gemara says, no, they don't necessarily contradict each other. They're talking about two different scenarios. Ki tanya hi, this second brisa that says that your potter, the one that Rabbi Elazar brought down, that's talking about bechotzer miyuchedes lozeh vilozeh, bein leperos, bein leshvarim. In this situation, they both had the right to put their peros over there, and they had the right to put their oxen over there. So therefore, it's not considered bier b'stei acher. And therefore, you're not going to be chayiv for shein v'regel. This is bier in your own field. And therefore, if your ox does damage with shein v'regel, you're not going to be chayiv because you had the right to be there. So that's the second brisa. That's talking about where you had permission to both put your fruits over there as well as to put your shvarim. However, the first brisa, Haider of Yosef, the first brisa of Yosef brought down, which says that you are in fact chayiv for shein v'regel, is talking about a different scenario. That's talking about bechotzer miyuchedes leperos. They had the right to put their peros over there. However, ve'enu miyuchedes lishvarim. But they didn't both have the right to put their oxen over there. And therefore, the legabe shein, if you put your ox there when you didn't have the right to put your ox there, it is called bier b'stei acher. And havilah chotzer hanizak. And therefore, that was a place where the nizak had the right to be, but not you. And therefore, he has the right to say to you, what's your ox doing over here in my field? And therefore, you chayev to pay shein v'regel, because you only had the right to put your fruits over there, but you didn't have the right to put the ox over there. So therefore, we've reconciled the two brises. They're talking about two different inyanim. And I'll show you that this is right, because look at the language of the brises. The first brisa that Rabbi Yosef brought down said, chatzar ashutvim and a pundak. And the second brisa that Rabbi Elazar brought down said, chatzar ashutvim v'habika. Why do they use different descriptions besides chatzar ashutvim? So daika nami, you can make a diuk over here the following way. The Tani Hoch, it says over here, dumya de pundak. The first brisa that Rav Yosef brought down compared the chatzar ashutvim to a pundak, to the hotel. And just like uktani hosam dumya de bika. And the second brisa compared the chatzar ashutvim to a bika, a valley. Now, what's normal about that? The pundak, Rashi explains, you don't have a right to go and bring oxen into the hotel. So therefore, the chatzar ashutvim there is talking about a scenario where you only were miyuchedes leperos, the ainu miyuchedes leshvarim. And that's Rav Yosef's brisa, and therefore you're chayiv for shein v'regel. But the brisa that Rabbi Elazar brought down that compared the chatzar ashutvim and the bika, well, the bika is a place where you have a right to go graze your animals. So therefore, that is an example of miyuchedes lezev lezev, bein leperos, bein leshvarim. Like Rav Elazar said, like the second brisa said. And therefore, shma minah, each of them can be learned in this way, that there's no machlokas between the two brises. They're talking about different scenarios. The Gemara says, wait a second. Maskev lo Rav Zeira, kivan de miuchedes leperos, ha bo'inan ubi'er b'stei acher v'leka. But wait a second. How can you tell us that Rav Yosef's brisa is talking about that it was miuchedes for peros? If it was miuchedes for peros, so then that's not called bi'er b'stei acher. And therefore, you don't have bi'er b'stei acher v'leka, and therefore you shouldn't be chayiv. So the Gemara answers, Abaye answers Rav Zeira and says, no. Kivan de eno miuchedes l'shvarim. No, since it was only allowed to have the peros over there, but not the shvarim, so then in that situation, it is called steacher, steacher karina bay. So the distinction over here that Abaye says is, even though you had the right to put your fruits there, it still is called steacher because you didn't have the right to put your shvarim over there. So therefore, it's not a stira. So the bottom line is, we've squared away the two brises. Now, once we squared away the two brises, so Amalei Rav Acha Midifti L'Ravina, Rav Acha Midifti says to Ravina, just like we said, the two brises don't argue with each other. Lema Midimas Naisa Lo Pligi. Let us say also that the Amorai, Rav Yosef and Rav Elazar, Nami Lo Pligi. Why do they have to argue? Just like we reconciled the two brises, to say that we're talking about in the first brisa where he had rights to go with the Paris but not the Shvarim. In the second brisa, he had the rights to go with the Paris and the Shvarim. So then, let us say, Amorai, Nami Lo Pligi, that maybe Rav Chista and Rav Elazar are also not arguing. So the Gemara says, Ravina says, yeah, Taki, you're right. Amar Olei in. That's certainly one way to look at it. And just like the Brises don't argue, you could argue that Rav Chista and Rav Elazar don't argue as well. But the Imtim Silam Pligi, but if you had a Mesorah, if you want to say that no, they are arguing, you could still say that they're arguing, and they're arguing about whether you hold like Rav Zeira or like Abaye's response to Rav Zeira. The Imtim Silam Pligi, Bekusha de Rav Zeira, Ubepiruka de Abaye Pligi. Do we consider this Bier Bestei Acher when you had the right for the Peros but not for the Shvarim? So Rav Zeira thought, no, that's not called Bier Bestei Acher, whereas Rav Zeira said, as long as you don't have the right for the Shvarim, it's still called Ubier Bestei Acher. Okay. That concludes that sugya for now. But now let's go back to the statement that we brought down, the name of Shimon ben Elazar, that said that Arba Gufa, Arba Klolos, Hayy Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer ben Azikin, that there are four categories or four examples or rules that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar brought down. And we had just listed them. So now we'll go through them again. The first one is as follows. Kol shu rishus la nizak. Only the nizak had the right to go there, the lola mazik. So he said, chay b'kol. Then you have to pay full damages, even if it's a shor tam, because the mazik had no right to be there. It was the nizak's area. So the fact that your shor didn't go and gore beforehand is irrelevant. He didn't have the right to be there. And if he's there, you have to pay full damages. And we medayik from the lashon. It said, chay b'kol. It didn't say, al hakol, you chay on everything. Look, Tony, it said bakol, yechayev for everything. Elechayev bakol means bekule nezik, yechayev nezik sholem. Now, who does this go in accord with? Mani, whose opinion does this go in accord with? Rabbi Tarfani. This is a machlokes between Rabbi Tarfani and the Chachamim. The Rabbi Tarfani holds the Omer, mishune keren, bekhatzer hanizak, nezik sholem mishalem. That normally, keren is an unusual type of damages. The typical standard ox doesn't gore. It's a short time. It doesn't normally gore. And that's why you only pay chatzi nezek. It's an unusual type of damage. However, even though it's a mishune, it's an unusual type of damage, and therefore you normally pay for a short time only chatzi nezek, but this type of damage, b'chasar hanizak, since you had no right to be there, so Rabbi Tarfon says that you have to pay nezek sholim. Now, keep on reading. This brisa, however, then continues and says, Eimo Seifa. The fourth scenario the Rishim and Elazar brought down was lola zeh v'lola zeh, that the area doesn't belong to either the mazik or to the nizak. That's the simple way to understand it. Kigon chotzer she'eno shoshtem, a chotzer that doesn't belong to either of them. In that situation, we said chayev bo'al shein v'regel, you would be chayev shein v'regel, and in that situation, my lola zeh v'lola zeh, what does that mean? Lola zeh v'lola zeh. Elam, you're going to tell me, lola zeh v'lola zeh, klal, it belongs to neither of them, it belongs to the third party, to Levi, el di acher. It doesn't belong to Reuven, the Mazik. It doesn't belong to Shimon, the Nizak, but it belongs to Levi. So then, the damage has to be done in the field of the person who is damaged. It can't be done in Levi's field. It has to be done in the Nizak, Shimon's field. Veleka. So, El Pshita, What does it mean when it says lo lazeh v'lo lazeh? It means lo lazeh v'lo lazeh elu d'chad. It doesn't mean that it's for neither of them. It just doesn't mean it's for both of them. So when it says lo lazeh, it means not for the mazik, but it is for the other one. It's not for a levi, a third person, but it's for the nizak. So therefore, elu pshita, lo lazeh v'lo lazeh elu d'chad. But it's actually for one of them, meaning the nizak. And therefore, that's called ubiyer b'stei acher. But it says over there, Uktani Seifa, in this fourth category of Rishimun Elazar, in the case of Lo Lazeh V'lo Lazeh, Uktani Seifa, it said over there, Ta Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, Umud Mishalim Nezek Shalem. Whose opinion is that? That's not Rabbi Tarfon, Asim Rabbanan. That goes like the opinion of the Rabbanan that say, even in the Rishus of the Nizak, you only pay Chatzi Nezek for a short time. So what do you have in this Braisa? You have an unusual situation, that the Rishus is Rabbi Tarfon, and the Seifa is the Chachamim. And we just conclude and finish this off and say the Amrei that the Chachamim hold, Mishun Nekerim Chotzer Nizak, Chatzin Nezik Udim Shalem. So you only pay Chatzin Nezik, and therefore we're left with the result that the Seif is talking about the Chachamim and the Reish is talking about Rabbi Tarfon. Reish and Rabbi Tarfon, the Seif and Rabbanan. That seems to be very, very strange to have in the same Braisa without naming different Tanoim. So we normally assume it's one authorship, but here you clearly have shown that the Reish is Rabbi Tarfon and the Seif is the Chachamim. Is that's unusual? The Gemara says, yeah, it's unusual, but that's exactly correct. In fact, D'ha Amale Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shmuel, in fact, told his Talmud Rav Yehuda, mentioned many times, the Rav Yehuda first learned by Rav, and when Rav passed away, he went to learn by Shmuel. And Shmuel always referred to Rav Yehuda as Shinina, you sharp one, you very bright and charif mind. Alternatively, there's the famous pshat that says it means he had long teeth, but most don't like that pshat because that would be a pejorative type of a statement, and it's hard to believe that Shmuel would call him by a nickname, Shinina, that implied that he had, you know, long teeth, and it wasn't a positive type of a nickname. So it's much more correct to say that he called him Shinina, you sharp when you're so charif. Then Shmuel tells Rav Yehuda, Shvok Masnisin v'sa Abasroi. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Shvok Masnisin, that means Lo titrach l'shanuya k'chad tana. Don't try to explain the Mishnah like one Tana. Just like this Braisa can't be explained by one Tana. V'sa'a basroi, follow me. The Emo kavosi, follow my opinion. Do'kia no reisha b'tarfon v'sefer rabbanon. Just like in this Braisa, I say that the reisha is Rabbi Tarfon and the sefer is the Chachamim. And therefore, the dalit klolos, the common Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, are trei minayu b'chad duchto. So it's really two things over here. One is like the Rabbanon, and one is like Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. In any event, that's how we resolve this seeming stira in this Braisa that the Reisha and Sefer are two different authorships. Alternatively, Ravina Mishmei the Rav Amar, a different teretz. Kula Rabbi Tarfoni. The entire Braisa is in fact Rabbi Tarfon. The Reisha is Rabbi Tarfon, but even the Sefer is Rabbi Tarfon. What does it mean? My lo lazeh v'lazeh. What does that mean? It means lo lazeh v'lo lazeh l'peiros ela d'chad. That both of them didn't have the right to go put the peiros over there. Only one of them, the Nizak, had the right to put his peiros over there. Lazeh v'lazeh l'shvarim, but both of them had the right to put their ox over there. And therefore, even Rabbi Tarfon agrees that in that situation, the legabe Shane, Habilei Chatzar, and Nizak, in regards to Shane, it was in the Nizak's possession, and therefore you're going to be chayiv for Shane. And legabe Karen, Habilei Rishus HaRabim, it's considered Rishus HaRabim. And even Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi Tarfon says you have to pay, but you only have to pay Chatzi Nezek. More questions. It says, if that's so, ihachi, so then arba'a, we say that there are four klolos, but there's only shlosha in this situation, shlosha havel, because we've already learned the fourth one in the first three. So there would be only three and not four. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, we turn to Yudalim of the days, in this situation, yeah, you're right, there's shlosha klolos, however, biarba'a makomos, but we learned them in four different places, and therefore, the original statement that we made is still correct, that they're arba klolos. It's really shlosha klolos, but it meant in arba'a makomos. Okay, now we're going to the next Mishnah. This Mishnah is an extremely enigmatic Mishnah. And you can see on the Rashi on it, he says, Kulam Asnisim Afarsh B'Gemara. Rashi doesn't even start to go and try to explain the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it needs to be explained. It's not hard, but it's enigmatic and needs to be explained in the Gemara. So I'll just translate the words of this Mishnah. They're all talking about that you have to pay Nezek. And how do you go pay the damage, the Nezek that you caused? So you have to do Shum Kesef. You have to do an assessment. A Shum is an evaluation with money. We'll see what that means. It has to be shava kesef. When you pay, it has to be with shava kesef, something that has value like money. It has to be done bifnei beis din. It has to be paskin in front of a beis din. V'alpi Edim, and the Edim have to go and testify as to what happened. And these Edim have to be B'nai Chorin. They have to be regular members of Klal Yisrael. They can't be Avodim. And they have to be B'nai Bris. They have to be Yiddish men and not Nochrim. And the dinim of Nezek, V'anosha B'chlal Nezek. There's no difference between men and women in regards to the laws of damages. And finally, V'anizak V'amazik B'tashlumim. And both the Mazik and the Nizak are included in this evaluation and the payments. And we'll discuss all of these things as we go through the Gemara. So let's start the Gemara. What does it mean? The first part of the Mishnah, Shum Kesef. What does it mean you evaluate money? My Shum Kesef. You have to do some sort of an evaluation with money. Some review, the Amor review that tells us, this Shum Kesef means Shum Zeh Lo Yeh Elo B'Kesef. That you have to do an evaluation of the damage. And this is in accord, Tanina Lohad Ton Rabbanon. This is in accord with that which we learned in the Brisa. Rashi puts out an interesting idea over here in Dira Maskel Tanina. He says, B'masnisin Lohad Ton Rabbanon the Brisa. We learned in our Mishnah what was stated in the Brisa. And when we have this type of a lashon of Tanina Lohad Ton Rabbanon, he says, Ushmamino Daha Brisa Ikerhi. That this Brisa is correct. This Brisa is essential. So when we use this lashon of Tanina Lohad Ton Rabbanon, it's telling us that this Brisa is really the correct way to understand the Mishnah. In any event, what does the Brisa say? The Brisa says, Para Shehizika Talis. Now, there's two ways to understand this. And Rashi, if you look in the Ramasu Parshika Talis, you see that there's a Bach over there, Os Aleph. And that basically is the two ways to understand this. And Tosus has this discussion. And Tosus says the more proper way is the word O in between. So it's two separate scenarios. If you have Parash Hezika Talis, you have a cow that went in an area where there was some sort of a talis. A talis doesn't mean like the talis that we wear, it means a garment. There was a cloak. So a Parah went and damaged a cloak, or vice versa. Oh, according to the Girsa of the Bach, that it says oh over here, or like the Rabbeinu Tam, it's oh, the talis shezika parah. Or you have a different scenario where there was a talis, let's say in the Shusha Rabbim, and your parah slipped on it and it got hurt. So in this situation, we don't say, well, let's say in the parah shezika talis, you don't say, well, the cow over here ruined his garment. So give the owner of the garment the cow, or the owner of the garment, it caused the cow to break a leg. So just give the garment to the cow. Ain't no man. We don't just say, Tetze para betalis, or talis betalis. We don't just go say, we'll flip them around. So the cow caused the damage, so give the other guy the cow. The garment caused the damage, so give the owner of the cow the garment. We don't say that. Now, according to the Girsa, that it's a vav over here, that the two cases are that the cow hurt the garment at the same time that the garment hurt the cow. So then you do an evaluation and you see, let's say the cow was $100 worth of damage and the garment was $200 worth of damage. So then you would give the one that was damaged $200, he would get the other one. He would get, let's say the cow caused $200 worth of damage. So you give the owner of the garment the cow. So we don't do that. But the Bryce is telling us, you don't do that. You don't just make a switch and say, well, this one damaged that one, A damaged B. So we give B A. You don't do that. El Shaman also be dumb. You go do an evaluation. How much damage was done? So let's say in the case where the cow damaged the garment. Well, how much damage did the garment undergo? The garment was $1,000 before and now it's worth $800. So you got to pay. The owner of the cow has to pay $200 worth of damage. You don't just say, give him the cow. The cow's worth $1,000 also. You don't say, give him the whole cow. You got to give him $200 and vice versa. If the garment had caused the cow damage, so then the cow went from $1,000 to $500 because that's a broken leg, can't plow. So you don't have to pay him $500, but you don't have to give him the $1,000 garment. So that's the critical factor over here. Shum kesef. You figure out and calculate. And in the case where they both did damage, the cow damaged the garment, the garment damaged the cow. So you figure out one did $100 worth of damage, the other did $200 worth of damage, so they cancel out $100, and then the one that did the $200 damage, he'll have to pay $100 to that person with his cow, let's say that damaged $200, and he only has to pay $100 because his garment got damaged $100, so therefore they cancel out for the $100, and he only have to pay $100 more. So that's the first part of the Mishnah, Shum Kesef. You do an evaluation of the damage, and then you pay based upon that. Then we said in the Mishnah, Shava Kesef, what does that mean? So, Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following Brisa. Shava Kesef is Melamed, it comes to teach us, She'ein based in Niskokin Elin Nechosim She'esh L'Nechrais, that Basin only has the right to go and take something that has Achrais, in other words, Karka. They can go collect from this person's leaned property from Karka to go pay the damages. However, Avolim kidem nizak. If the person who was damaged went and grabbed metaltolin, the tofas metaltolin, so then Beis Din govin lo mihen. So then Beis Din lets it stay that way if they paskin that he really owed him the money, so they let him keep the metaltolin that he took. That's what it means, shavik kesef. It's not only karka, that's lechatchila, you should take karka, but if the person who was the nizak went and grabbed metaltolin, we let it stay that way once the din is paskin. Now let's dissect that a little bit more. Omar, we just said Shavu Kesef is teaching us Malamid Shein based in his kokin el in chosav sheish lemachrayis, that you have to go and take properties that have a chrayis. In other words, karka, and not go and take metaltolin. My mashna, how do you see that? Where do you see that from Shavu Kesef? So I'm a Rabbi Barula. Rabbi Barula says because it means dover hashove kol kesef. It means something that there is no din onah. Onah means a over or under charge. Now, by metaltolin, there's an over or under charge. You sell somebody a car. The car's worth $20,000. And you sell it to him for $30,000, so you rooked him. You made him pay more than a sixth. Or let's say he rooked you and he bought it for $10,000 instead of $20,000. So he paid much less than he should have for it. He underpaid by more than a sixth. So that magic number, a sixth, teaches us that the din by metaltolin is that the deal is null and void if there was an overcharge or an undercharge of more than a sixth. And the person who was on the losing side of that equation said, I want my money back, so he gets it back. So that's in regards to metaltolin. However, with karka, by definition, there's no such thing as an overcharge or an undercharge. There's no din of onah, of cheating by karka, because karka always is intrinsically worth something. So therefore, when Rabbi Barula tells us that it means shavu kesef, it means davar hashavu kol kesef. It means something that is always worth money, is no overcharge or undercharge, and that's why it's a reference to karka. And the Gemara now explains this. My nihu, what is this talking about? Davar shein lo anah, something that doesn't have a anah, like karka. Now the Gemara says, if that's true, then avodim ushtaros, also nami ein lehem anah, so why aren't they included over here? A eved, there is no concept of anah by an eved. And likewise, a shtar, there is no concept of onah by a shtar as well. So, Elo Amar Rabba Barula, so he says, all right, it means dovra nikne b'kesef. It means something that can be acquired through money. Karka is acquired through kesef shtar or chazaka. So, with kesef, you can acquire karka. That's what it means over here, karka. Mor says, well, wait a second. Avodim ushtaros nami nikne b'kesef. Avodim ushtaros can also be acquired with kesef. So, how do you know that that's not what it's talking about? And Rashi brings down over here that we learned in Gemara in Kiddushin that an Eved can be nicknamed with Kesef, albeit Rashi says, Shtaros, the nicknames with Kesef, lois parish hecha. I don't know where you learned that from. And in fact, Tosa says that you should delete that. That Girsa is not correct over here. It should have just said Avadim, and we shouldn't have had the word Shtaros. It should have just said Avadim, nami nicknamed with Kesef. No, so that's a kasha. So El Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, you're right. When we said Shava Kesef, the low Kesef, it meant Vahanikulu Kesef Ninu. It meant that you're paying back over here with something that has the value of Kesef, even though it's not Kesef itself. And therefore, that would include all of these things. That would include Avodim and Shtaros and Metaltali, because all of them have value as money, even though they're not money themselves. So you could pay back the damage with giving any of these shava kesef items. Now the Gemara says, Rami le Rav Yehuda bar Chinina Rav Huna bar Rav Yeshua. And this is parallel to a question that we had earlier in the Masechta. So Rav Yehuda bar Chinina asked this question to Rav Huna bar Rav Yeshua. He says, Tana, we learned a brisa that said shava kesef, this brisa that we just brought down, Malamich ein beizdin nizkakin el l'nechosim sheesh l'nechrais. We said that it meant that you have to give real estate. However, Vatanya, we learn Kesef Yoshiv Livolab, which we've learned many times already in this Masechta. That means Larabo Shava Kesef Afilu Subin, that you can pay back with something that's not Karka. You can even pay back with something that's Shava Kesef, even something that's brand. So how do you reconcile that? So Gemara says, Hachamay Askinam Biyasme, that when we're saying you can only collect with Karka, that which you said, the Mabayitz of Alam Shein based in this Kokin Elun Chosav Sheish Lan Achrayis, that's only when you're dealing with your Sum. They're only dealing here with the original owner of the field, he died. And therefore, if you're getting from the Yisomim, you're only allowed to collect from the Yisomim the debt if it's with Karka. And that's what the Bryce is talking about. You can only collect from Yisomim with Karka. Mor says, if you're talking about Yisomim, then we got a problem. Keep on reading. The next part of the Bryce, Ibiyasme, so then we have a problem, Ema Seifa. It said, Im Kodam Nizak Vitofas Metaltolin, but we said at the end of the Bryce that bottom line is, if the Nizak went and he did in fact take Metaltolin, he took them, based in Govinlo. mehen, then we allow it if the Beis Din passes that he owes the money. So we let him keep the metaltli. But wait a second, by yusomim ibiasme, we don't let him keep the metaltli. Amai Beis Din go b'lo mehen. Why would Beis Din be able to go and take that? The yusomim aren't obligated to pay back the debts of their father. It's only the lien on the karka that makes it be paid back. But you're not allowed to go take metaltli from yusomim and say, well, that's my money, it was owed to me. So how would the Beis Din say, well, if you took it, b'di'evid, we'll let it stand? That's not true. So the Gemara answers, no. Kidama Rav Amar Rav Nachman. This goes in accord with Rav said in Rav Nachman, that when was this grabbed? Shetavas Michaim. It was when the father was still alive. So technically, he had the right to grab the metaltlin from the father when he was alive. And now it's still in his possession when the father passed away. So Hochanami Shetavas Michaim. Just like Rav said in the name of Rav Nachman, in the case in Kesubos, that this principle applies, Shetofas Michaim, so too we apply that over here, Hochanami Shetofas Michaim. So the reason why the Beis Din allowed the Metaltelin to stay in the possession of the one who grabbed it was because he grabbed it while the father was alive, not when the Yesomim had already inherited it. If the Yesomim had already inherited it, then he wouldn't have been allowed to grab it. Then we said in the Mishnah, it had to be done Bifnei Beis Din. So the Gemara says, this excludes prat lemocher nechasov. This would exclude somebody who sold his property and then the acharkach holech lebeis din, and then he's taken to court. So then the beis din won't go and collect from this mazik the properties that he had previously sold before he came to the beis din. Where it says, wait a second, is that true? Shmami, no, this Rashi says a lotion of bismia. This is really a shock. Really? Is that true? So then, based upon what you're saying, Shmami, no, lova, umachai nechasev, if somebody borrowed money and he had property that would have been leaned to that loan, but then he sold the property, and only then, miachakach bola beistin, ain't beistin govin lo mihen, beistin doesn't have the right to go collect those lien properties? Of course they do. So how can you tell me that since beistin has the right to collect the lien properties, that in the case of the damage, that beistin wouldn't have the right to go collect the damages? So, from the lien properties. Ella, you're right. It means Ella Prat Le Beis Din Hejotos. It means, when it says Bifnei Beis Din, it has to be a real Beis Din that is somuch. They have smicha, the real smicha, which allows them to judge knossos and to judge and adjudicate certain types of dinim that a Beis Din of Hejotos doesn't have the right to do. So, therefore, when our Mishnah says Bifnei Beis Din, it's talking about a Beis Din that is smuchin, to exclude a Beis Din of Hevdiotos, of judges that aren't smuchin, and therefore these dinim don't apply to them. Because there is dinim that a regular Beis Din of Hevdiotos cannot go and adjudicate, such as Knossos, for example, as the now the Gemara says, when we say Alpi Edim, so this comes to exclude, when the Mishnah said that you have to have Edim, Prat Lemodim and Knas, as opposed to a case where somebody is Modeh to a knas, and only then the achakach bo edim that say that yes, you really owed the money. So therefore, his mode of a knas is part to it. Somebody who's admitting that he owes money, but it's a knas, so he's normally part to the pay. So this, the Mishnah is telling us that even in a case where his mode of a knas, the achakach bo edim, he's still part to shu part to. But this leads to a question. This is a machlokus, in fact. That works out very well if you hold like that. But Ella, if you go like the other man, the fact that you are modeh makes you potter, unless they're edim. And even if the edim comes subsequent to your being modeh, you still got to pay. According to that man, then what in the world is the Mishnah coming to exclude? So the Gemara says, you're right, it doesn't come to exclude that, but say for it's trichle. You need the next part of the Mishnah. Because as we turn to Tesvavim and Aleph, we need to be teaching us the B'nei Chorin u'B'nei Bris, that the witnesses must be B'nei Chorin, they can't be Avodim, and they have to be Yidden, they can't be Nochrim. B'nei Chorin l'mutei Avodim, and B'nei Bris l'mutei Ovdei Kochavim. And Utsricha, you need all of these teachings. Why is that? Because the Yashmin and Eved, if you only told me that an Eved is not allowed to be the witnesses, I would have said, you know why they can't be a witness? Mishum de ein lo yachas, because they don't have a yichus to them. Because an Eved's children don't belong to him. They belong to the owner. Abul Nachri by Goyim, there is a concept of yichus. There is a concept of this is the guy's father, this is the guy's mother. The Yesh lo yachas, same below. So then I would have said, no, maybe they could be a witness in the case of the Nezikin. So just tell me then the Nachri case, Vyashmin and Nachri, that we exclude a Nachri. I would have said, you know why we exclude a Nachri? Mishum de lo shayach b'mitzvos, because a Nachri is potter from the Targum mitzvos. He only has his ayah mitzvos b'nei Noach, but doesn't have all the other mitzvos. as opposed to an Eved, Kenani, Evel Eved, the Shaykh B'mitzvos, he has mitzvos Ke'isha. He has to do almost all the mitzvos, except for the mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. And therefore, Emelah, I would have said, no, maybe he is not excluded from being a witness. He could be a witness. Therefore, Tzricha, you have to tell me both the Bnei Chorin and the Bnei Bris, you need to tell me to exclude both the Eved Kenani and an Ovi Kochavim. This is a good break point. We'll stop over here. Again, we're learning for Shalom al Klal Yisrael and the safe return of the hostages, Refuah Shleimah to all those in need, and that Tzal should be have a tremendous hatzlacha and safety in all of their activities. Hashem Yirachim.